Great morning, great morning, great, great, great morning. And how great is God's faithfulness? God's faithfulness is so great towards us that no matter how much we live for Christ, it could never equate his faithfulness to us. I am so honored this morning. I am so, not just because I know that God is my Lord and my Savior, because that is what he wants to be. That is the position that he wants to hold in my life. But the fact that God has allowed my spirit and my heart and my mind and my soul and every aspect of my life, I want to surrender unto him. It humbles me that God has taken the time to spend time with me so that he can fix my heart and renew in me a right spirit and create in me a clean and a pure heart. You will forever hear me say, I am so humbled because God is the giver of life. He is the one who can call us home, wherever your home, wherever your eternity may be. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who takes it away. And I'm so honored this morning that God continues to confirm to me that it's not about man. It's not about being pleasing in man's sight. It's not about how many likes you get. It's not about who's on your side, but they're on that other person's side, but I want them to like me. God is just simply saying, but he's saying it so powerfully this morning, just be who I created you to be. And that is good news this morning, because when you walk in who God created you to be, that means that when you have bad days, when you make a mistake, when you falter, when you fall short, you can go to God in your secret place and you can bear all and you can tell him everything. Because God already sees you walking in who he told you to be. Well, Keisha, if I'm walking in who God told me to be, how can I make a mistake? Because the word of God tells us we are to crucify this flesh daily. That says to me that the enemy is going to come with something. He's going to whisper something in your ear. He's going to cause something to cross your path. He's going to make certain that you try to go back to the thing that God delivered you from. So this morning, it is good news that God created you and me. He created no one else like you. He created no one else like me. And all he wants us to do is just be who he created us to be. And that is good news. Well, how do I know what God has created me to be? Let me just say, the road may not be easy. Some things may be difficult when you surrender your life to Christ. But you can rest assured that God's word says that he would never leave you and he would never forsake you. And his word also says that this too shall pass. T-O-O, meaning in addition to everything else that came, that was bad, that was negative, that hurt. It came, but it passed away. Eventually it went away. And this too, whatever condition that you find yourself in, man and woman of God, you can know that this too is going to pass. And God said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. So it's going to take persistence in prayer. It's going to take you pressing into the things of God. Well, how do I press into the things of God? You got to know how to come to God in prayer. Some people say, just come as you are. And we've taken that and we've muddied it. We've taken that and we've trampled over it. And we think that we can just come to God any kind of way in our spirit, any kind of way in our attitude. Well, God, here I am. And you know, I was told that I could just come as I am. But God is looking at your attitude. He's judging your heart. And if you're coming to him in any spirit of arrogance, any spirit of pride, God is not having that. But if you come to God and say, God, I have a problem with pride. I have a problem with my attitude. And I don't come to you puffed up and proud, but I come to you just as I am. I come to you letting you know that I have an issue with pride. I have an issue with being arrogant. I have an issue of thinking that the world owes me something. But God, I was told that if I come to you just as I am, bearing these things and not coming against you in these things, you are faithful and you are just to forgive me. And you want to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. So this all is good news this morning, because everything that we need is found in the Word of God. Everything that we need is found in the presence of God. Well, how do I get into the presence of God? I said it once, I said it twice, I said it three times, and I will continue to say it. You're going to have to build a relationship with Christ. And it comes through, first of all, saying, God, I've done it my way for so long. And for so long, I've ran people off. For so long, I've hurt people. For so long, I've ignored your signs. But God, here am I. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do, oh God? Because I really don't know what to do. But I'm opening up my heart because I know I need to change. I don't know how to change, but I know I need to change. I know there's arrogance in me. I know there's pride in me. I know there's unforgiveness in me. But God, I know that through you, I can do all things because you strengthen me. So God, I come to you asking you to take these things out. Give me a spirit of surrender. I don't know how to surrender. Teach me how to surrender. What I'm simply saying to you is that God wants to help you. God wants to help me. He wants to see us through everything. He wants to hold our hand. Even when we fall and make a mistake, he said that I don't want you to perish. But I want you to have everlasting life. I want you to spend eternity with me. But you're not going to do it if you keep letting people tell you, well, can't nobody judge you. Well, God is the only one that can judge. I told someone this morning that the Word of God says you would know a tree by the fruit that it bears. Well, how can I look at this tree, which is the person, and I see arrogance, I see pride, I see a little bit of faith over here, I see a little bit of humility over here, I see they have a little bit of forgiveness right over there tucked under the corner, just kind of move that rock out of the way, and I kind of see a little bit of forgiveness right there. But then over here, I see a lustful eye, and we see these things. And then we just sit back and we just look. Well, how were you supposed to know the difference in between all of them? The different fruits, the negative fruit, the sour fruit, the sweet fruit. You're going to judge it. So the devil is a liar. That is one of the tricks that he is using to keep people bound. Is we continue to let people tell us, well, girl, can't nobody judge you but God. You have to begin to know how to utilize the Word of God in its proper place. You don't need to go into a relationship with a person and you haven't looked at their life. You haven't judged their life, not judging them to condemnation. Oh, well, I'm better than them because I don't do what they do. Well, you know, they're not going to heaven, but I'm going to heaven because they're going to hell. You're judging. But what you do, you're judging to condemnation. But what you do is you say, okay, this is a person that wants to be my friend, and I think I want to be their friend. Do you jump right over into the relationship? No, you don't. You sit back and you watch this person. You sit back and you listen to what they say. You don't do a whole lot of talking when you're coming into a new relationship. I had to learn that. I had to learn how to take relationships to God and say, God, this person has come to me and they seem like they want to be close to me and I like them. But God, what do you say? What do you want them to know about me? And what do you want me to know about them? Not so that I can take it and go blast it on Facebook, but because God wants to protect me. He wants to protect you. So what you do is you sit back and you watch and you listen and you don't do a lot of talking. What are you doing? You are judging that person's fruit. You're trying to see if I'm going to see how well they do when they get into a confrontation with somebody. I'm going to see how well they do coming from out of that disagreement with that person. I'm going to see if they do a lot of cussing. I'm going to see if they do a lot of back and forth, or I'm going to look and see if that person takes a back seat and say, okay, well, let me think about that. Let me pray about that. You know what? Well, you may be right. I'm going to sit back and look and see if they have a kind disposition. I'm going to sit back and look and see if there's any humility, or am I going to see a bunch of anger? Am I going to see a bunch of pride? Am I going to hear a bunch of I'm right and everybody else is wrong? You are then judging that tree by the fruit that it bears. So the reason why you don't see altars being filled on a Sunday morning, the reason why your family members don't want to come to Christ, is because somewhere down the line, they've heard somebody tell them, well, can't nobody judge us but God. You see people get it tattooed all over their bodies. You see it on bumper stickers. You see it on little lapel pins and on a bookmark that they have in their Bible. Nobody can judge me but God. And people are on a very fast boat to hell and destruction. But I say to you this morning, you better start judging a tree by the fruit that it bears. It will save you a lot of destruction. It will stop you from going down a beaten path. It will stop you. It will stop the enemy in its tracks, in his tracks. Right then and there, the enemy wants us to be tied up and twisted up and tangled up and can't get free from relationships that is not bearing fruit and they are not giving God glory. So many people marry the wrong people. You marry unequally yoked and the relationship does not give God glory. Might it be that if the tree would have been judged by the fruit that it was bearing, it would have stopped a lot of heartache and pain and going to divorce court. I'm going by what the word of God says. Don't shoot the messenger. If you're going to be mad at anybody, be mad at the creator. And that is Jesus Christ. He has inspired his word. And his word will not return unto him void. So if he says to judge a tree by the fruit that it bears, you better do it. I better do it. And I thank God for giving us grace to get in place. Grace to get in place where we can now start judging a tree by the fruit that it bears. When you do that, you're using wisdom. When you do that, you are giving God glory. So I am humbled and I am honored at the feet of Jesus Christ this morning, because his word is for us to use it so we can straighten our lives out. The word is a light. It's a lighted path. It's a map. It's a teacher. It is to help us in every area of our lives. And this morning, I want to leave you with this scripture, Psalms 19 and 14. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my Lord, my Redeemer, my strong tower, my bridge over troubled water, my healer, the one who petitions for me. Let the words of my mouth, let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in God's sight. I want what I think about to be acceptable in His sight. I want what comes out of my mouth as a result of what's in my heart, what I'm meditating on. I want it to be acceptable in God's sight. Because He is the one that every day I get up, I say, God, this is your day. And you said to rejoice and be glad in it. God, what can I do on this day to satisfy and please you? We're not supposed to give that type of worship to our spouses, to our significant other, to our children, to our supervisors, to our neighbors, to the people who are in authority in the community. We're not even supposed to give it to our leaders. That type of worship and recognition is only to be given to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the one that needs to be Lord and Savior over every aspect of our lives. Not just we give our lives to Christ, or we can say, oh, I'm a Christian because my grandfather was the founder of this church, or my grandmother went to this church and this was her seat right here. They even put a plaque on the back of the seat that says this plaque was donated by Sister Bumblebee. We need to recognize where God's place is and put Him in His proper place to make sure that we are serving Him like He is for real, our Lord and our Savior. When He is Lord, you do not even think that you can get up out of your bed and walk to the restroom and do it on your own. Because in mid-step, God can cause the breath of life to leave you, to leave me. So we have to recognize Him as Lord, that He is powerful enough to do that. And guess what? He don't even have to give a reason why He does what He does. But we have to worship Him and honor Him in every area of our lives. And we can't do that until we really believe that He is supposed to be not only our Savior, but He is Lord. He rules over every area of our lives. He is supposed to rule over what we think. And a few years ago, God had to put it in my spirit. Are you thinking about what you're thinking about? Think about what you've been thinking about. I had to stop. Sometimes now I have to catch myself. Keisha, stop thinking that. Don't think that. God delivered you from that. Is that thought giving God glory? Is what you're meditating about giving God glory? Will God be pleased with you meditating on that? And I catch myself and I say, God, forgive me. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And then I have to think about the things that I say. And we say out of our mouths what we've been thinking about, what's in our heart. And sometimes I say things and I say, God, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I should not have said that. And then if I'm talking to another sister in Christ or another brother in Christ, I'll say, you know, I said so and so and so, and I shouldn't have said it. And when you confess your faults, when I confess my faults, when we confess, when we messed up to another like-minded believer, that is cutting the enemy off because we've expressed it out loud. We didn't keep it to ourselves, because when we keep it to ourselves, guess what? We'll go over here and we'll do something else again. And then we'll keep that to ourselves. And then we'll go over here and we'll do something else that's wrong, that we weren't supposed to be meditating about. We shouldn't have let it come out of our mouth. And before you know it, it's become a habitual lifestyle. So we want what we think about to be pleasing to God. We want what we say to be pleasing to God. Well, Keisha, that's too much. I can't, do you know how much I think? I'm glad you thought that. Because if you say, do you know how much I think? That means it's too much on your mind. That means that there's some clutter, there's some stuff, some junk that you need to pray and ask God to clear out of your mind. Now may the words of my mouth
and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And God has everything he needs to get you to a place, not a place where you're perfect, where you don't never think nothing wrong, where you don't never say nothing wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But God will get you to a place where you will find yourself giving the testimony saying, you know, I used to just sit back and just, my mind would just run off with me. I would just sit up and my mind would just be thinking about something that happened 2 or 3 years ago. And I know God delivered me from that. But you know, now my mind is, I don't think and ponder as much, and I don't toss and turn as much. That's because God has cleared your mind. That is because God has heard your prayer. God, help me not to think about things that don't bring you glory. Help me, God, that what I think about is acceptable in your sight. And what we think about, we're going to talk about. And so, God, because you cleared my mind, because you, thank you, God. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us what? He gave us love. He gave us power and a sound mind. If your mind is wandering off away from you, you don't have a sound mind. If all you do is think, and you can't sleep at night, you don't have a sound mind. I've been there, and I am in my healing process where God is healing me from letting my mind run away with me. I'm in my healing process. And so I want to say to you, that not only does God, it is his good pleasure for you and I to walk in exactly who he created us to be, but he also wants to be Lord over what we think and over what we say. Now may the words of our mouth, no, may the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, oh God. And when you can surrender your thoughts to him, God, I surrender. Just say, God, I surrender my thoughts to you. My thoughts haven't always been good thoughts. They haven't been pleasing thoughts to you. They haven't given you glory. But God, because I trust your word, I'm asking you to clear my mind from the clutter, from everybody else's mess, from everybody else's confusion. God, help me not to allow people to just come tell me stuff, because that stuff sticks in my spirit and it causes me to meditate on that stuff. Somebody else's junk, somebody else's unforgiveness, somebody else's confusion, somebody else's complaints. God, help me to learn how to say no. No, thank you. I can't help you. My sissy dude has a saying that I have now taught my 4-year-old son to say, no, thank you. I'll pass. And I've had to learn that it is okay to say, no, thank you. I'll pass. You're being honest and you're letting the person know we don't have to keep doing the tango back and forth where you say this and then they say that and then you say this and then you say that. If I don't want a bag of apples you're trying to give me, my answer is no, thank you. I'll pass. If I don't want to come and pick you up and take you somewhere to where you're not supposed to go, no, thank you. I'll pass. I'll pray that, you know, that you find a ride to get to wherever it is that you need to go. No is a sentence. And God will tell us to say no. I pray that I have said something that has stirred your heart, something that has made you think that I haven't arrived yet. I do need to be delivered in certain areas of my life. If I've said one thing, if you believe that God, not me, not Keisha, not me, I don't want no glory. I can't take any glory. I wouldn't know what to do with any glory. So I don't want any glory. What I want to see is people delivered so that they can turn around and give somebody else their testimony and it becomes a domino effect. I don't want any glory. But if I have said something that God has used me to say that has helped you, that has blessed you, then I have done my part. And I'm asking you today, if you've backslidden, and it doesn't mean if you're married, now you're cheating. Yeah, it could mean that. But maybe you backslid and where you used to walk in a high level of faith, now your faith is just dwindled down because the cares and the stresses and the worries of life have made you say, I just give up. If you've backslidden and walking in your faith, if you've backslidden where you used to be such an honest person, but now you find yourself, you lying when the truth will do. If you've backslidden, just come back to God and say, God, I surrender everything. I messed up. God, reshape my heart, renewing me a right spirit and creating me a clean and a pure heart. And God is faithful to do it, and he wants to do it. Just don't come back in arrogance. And if you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, surrender your life to Christ. Now is always a good time. Now is always an appointed time to surrender your life to Christ. And please pass this podcast to one or two people that you know just need a word of encouragement. It may not be today that you pass it. It may not be tomorrow. It may even be next week. Don't worry about, well, you know, I don't think they're going to listen to it. Trust me, if God puts it on your heart to send it, that person is going to listen to this podcast in God's appointed time, and it is going to bring God glory. Do everything as you are doing it unto God. Let God be your audience of one. My audience of one is going to be God. And we're going to press and we are going to strive to be everything that God has called us to be. I heard a woman of God say, this season can't look like last season. This season cannot be a repeat of last season. So in that, strive to be better. You're never going to reach perfection, but strive to be better than you were last year. And this gives God glory. And then be kind to somebody today. Why? Just because you can do it. Just because you can do it. Send somebody lunch. You don't have to tell them it's you doing it, but God saw you do it. Send it to that person that took your seat and they know they took your seat. Send it to that person that you know said something about you in the meeting before you came in the room. Yeah, send it to them. And if God wants them to know it's you, let God be the one to do it. But for now, just let it be between you and God. And this is all good news. You all be blessed. Know that it is my honor to pray for you. And I am going to continue to pray for you. Let this season not look like last season. In the mighty words of a mighty woman of God that I know, please don't let this season look like last season. Better, greater. It is sooner. It is now, not later. I love you. And until next time, bye-bye.